First of all, just some general impressions of the president's remarks last night.
Well, you know, it was a real challenge, not only to the Congress, but for the entire country, to do everything we can to restore America's greatness. A nation as great as ours has to have the ability to outproduce, outgrow, out-innovate, out-compete, and educate the other countries in the world. And that's the global competition that we're facing. And there are things that he listed last night that we can do to help in that regard. We have an infrastructure system that's crumbling before our very eyes that will not sustain long-term growth unless we invest in it, and that will create jobs in the short term. His focus on small businesses makes sense. I mean, our regional economy is very dependent on the strength and health of our small business owners, and they're going through a very difficult time right now. So the tax incentives that he was talking about to assist small businesses makes sense, but also the investment in education and job training programs. This, too, is going to be vital for our competitive future as a nation, and right now, a lot of the cuts we're seeing at the federal and state level are jeopardizing the quality education that our children are going to receive. And to me, that's a long-term guarantee of economic disaster if we continue that.
How did you generally see the remarks being received by your colleagues across the aisle last night?
Well, I hope they kept an open mind, because a lot of the proposals that they heard shouldn't have been new to them, because they've embraced and supported them in the past. In fact, that was a major point the president made, was the things that he was recommending that the Congress take up and pass has had bipartisan support already. So there shouldn't be much objection from either side of the aisle. So he was scrubbing the list of things we can do in the short term to help give our economy some juice and create jobs, which we desperately need, but by doing it in a bipartisan fashion through proposals that have been embraced by Republicans and Democrats alike. So from his perspective, and I think he's right, that if there's going to be objection now, it's for raw political purposes and not because of the policy behind it. But the greatest contributor to the budget deficits that we're facing today as a nation is the underperforming economy. When people are losing their jobs, when companies aren't selling that much, revenue drops off the cliff. And that's having a huge impact on the deficits that we're facing. So you would think the number one cause being the economy, so the number one focus of ours should be getting this economy on track, creating good-paying jobs, which is the best thing we can do to get our structural budget deficits back under control.
The president used the phrase, you ought to pass this right away, several times last night. What does that mean in terms of a time frame here? How quickly are things going to happen?
Well, I think his concern is that there's a sense that we're stalling in the economic recovery. Growth has slowed. Hiring has certainly slowed with a zero jobs report in the last month. And this has a tendency to feed on itself as far as consumer and investor confidence. So he's saying, Congress, we don't have much time to dawdle here. Let's get moving, and let's go to policies that have been embraced by both sides before that we should be able to enact fairly quickly if it's based on policy, not politics. So he was laying out the challenge for the Congress that, hey, no more partisan games. Let's get together. Let's roll up our sleeves. Let's start working together, which is what the American people demand, and it's what I heard from folks the most this past month back home in Wisconsin, is stop the hyper-partisanship. Learn to start listening and working with each other. And the president, with his proposal last night, was picking some of the best ideas that they've been advocating for a long time as part of his jobs program and saying, let's get going. This makes sense.
Lastly, Ron, I think one element of this that might be greeted with some skepticism, particularly by Republicans and perhaps by constituents as well, the president's assertion that this is all going to be paid for. React to that.
Well, he did. He said he wants something that's going to be paid for and paid for in the coming years. But again, when you're trying to get job creation and spending out the door right now, it doesn't make sense economically to also be taking money out at the equivalent rate right now. But that doesn't mean we can't pay for it over a period of years coming up. And that's why he told the super committee that as they're working on the longer-term deficit reduction deal, to also take this jobs program into consideration for spending reductions in the future. And I agree with that methodology, and most economists would agree with that too. But we need to reinstitute pay-as-you-go budgeting, something that worked very well in the 1990s, led to 4 years of budget surpluses when we were actually paying down the national debt rather than adding to it. And in fairness to the president, since he's been in office, there's been two items that weren't paid for: the American Recovery Act, the stimulus bill, and also the ongoing wars that have been financed through deficits. But everything else that's been passed and enacted into law has been fully offset and paid for in the budget. What's really driving the growth of deficits right now is this underperforming economy. Revenues have fallen. When people lose their jobs, they go on unemployment, food stamps. Those are spending programs that go up, counter-cyclical programs. So until we get this economy back growing and creating jobs, it's going to be very difficult to deal with these budget deficits that we're facing.